Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It's the football weekend we've all waited for. The big matchup between Taylor Swift and Usher in Super Bowl 58. I'm just kidding you all. It is the defending champions, Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers. And this could be the biggest game ever and the most watched. Who is your team? And is there too much Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift focus for you? My guests are Winston Hilton, sports producer for WJLA TV 7, and Wisdom Martin, author and news anchor for WUSA TV 9, and you, the listener. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Winston, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
No. Thank you. I really appreciate it and honored to be joined by you as well as Wisdom Martin, the legend. I tell you, if we only join forces, Wisdom and Winston, it's a powerful combination.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. A Winston and a Wisdom at the same time. How'd you pull that off here?
That's right. Yeah, he said you were a legend. That means he said you're old.
Oh, no. Not going there.
Yeah. And we're just getting started. Wisdom, good to see you, man. Happy New Year and all of that good stuff.
Yes, good to see you.
And congratulations on the new job.
Thank you very much. Excited to have some new digs.
How about that? Okay.
Winston, good to see you, or good to talk to you as well.
Absolutely. You too as well.
Okay, so I don't even know where to start right now because, you know, I jest. But, you know, I'll start with you, Wisdom. What is this game really about? Is this about Super Bowl 58 or is it about, you know, Taylor and the Swifties and and the whole bit? I mean, I've gotten to the point where it is what it is.
Right. You're absolutely right. It is what it is. And it's USHERRAYMOND. Now, baby, tell me what you want to do for me.
Oh, wow. I thought that was some Earth, Wind, and Fire. I didn't know what was going on.
Are you saying that I just butchered Usher? Yes, is that what you're saying?
I don't know what that was.
Anyway, trying to say was, even Winston said, oh, my gosh, what was that? Usher is so huge. I mean, the conversation all week, I get it. There is a football game going on.
Right.
But Usher Raymond and this halftime show, everybody wants to know, well, what's he going to come out with? Mm-hmm. What songs is he going to play? Who's going to be the special guest? Can't wait to see the halftime show. Yeah, there's a football game going on, too. Taylor Swift, she's going to be there. She's going to be up in it. So you're right. It's going to be the Swifties and the Ushers. And, it's going to be very entertaining for a number of different reasons.
And see, Winston, here's the thing. You know, Usher was a slam dunk because he's already in Vegas, so he doesn't have to travel far, you know, so they could probably cut, you know, some of his travel money. All he's got to do is probably walk down the street. But in all seriousness, who's your team, Winston? San Francisco, Kansas City, why?
Okay, so number one, I guess the hometown team, Washington, is my team. So I'll stick to possibly predicting the winner in this matchup between the 49ers and the Chiefs. I'll give you both sides of this, Mr. Harold. Okay, so check this out. You got the Chiefs. You have Patrick Mahomes. I don't think there really is anything else that needs to be said in the conversation. Now, the 49ers do have basically the most weapons between the teams as far as offense is concerned. They have Debo Samuel. They have Christian McCaffrey. They have Brandon Ayuk. They have a list of characters that can, you know, that could possibly take over games. And let's not call him Mr. Irrelevant anymore. He's definitely relevant, Mr. Brock Purdy. So, you know, this is really going to be a great game as far as football is concerned, you know, entertainment aside. But the football aspect of it is going to be pretty entertaining, if you ask me, because – you know, when you have the defending champion Chiefs and, you know, possibly, you know, we've been hearing it all week long about the possible GOAT between Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you know, physically and mentally, Mahomes might have one step up on Brady, but he has to catch up as far as rings are concerned. But, you know, another aspect of this as well is that the betting public is the 49ers are a point favorite in this game. So, you know, it could go either way, but I would have to say to answer your question is the Kansas City Chiefs. Until you dethrone the champion, you got to go with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Wisdom.
Well, I want Patrick Mahomes to win this game because I want to see his legacy be, this is a guy who created a dynasty in Kansas City after they went, like, I don't know, 50 years without winning one. And this is his fourth Super Bowl. He's already got two championships. So if he gets three, and he's only 28 years old, he's got two MVPs. I mean, we're talking about the next level of on your way to being GOAT status. That's how important this game is for Patrick Mahomes. And he's only 28, so he's got lots of time to win. But these Super Bowls are hard to come by. Even getting there is a big deal. I think Patrick Mahomes, I'm with you, Winston. You got to beat him. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And Brock Purdy is good. San Francisco 49ers are good. But the Kansas City Chiefs always figure out a way. Having said that, the 49ers are tough. And also, there's this little known fact. The Kansas City Chiefs are wearing those red jerseys. 49ers are wearing white jerseys. Do you know in the last, I think, 19 years, the team that wears the white jersey has won 16 times?
Oh, my goodness.
See, I just thought I'd throw that out there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a betting man either, Winston. I'm not a betting man either, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And Kansas City's wearing those red jerseys. And they're the defending champs. It's hard to win back-to-back.
So we are talking about Super Bowl 58. Kansas City, San Francisco, who's your team? Why? Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dion calling from Hyattsville. Dion, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, first of all, Winston, y'all have me laughing, I have to say. I'm complex because I was born in D.C., but I grew up in San Francisco, California.
Okay.
So as a youngster, I'm a 49ers fan, and I want Patrick to get his due, but I'm torn. So I'm going for the San Francisco 49ers. I have to. I think that they are, this year, I think after this year, they're going to kind of disband because of some things are going on. But I'm torn, but I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers. I have to.
Okay.
Bang, bang, 49ers gang. That's respect.
Okay. I get it. I completely understand. Thank you so much, Dion, for your phone call. So I used to live in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, since the Ravens didn't make it, can we have a moment of silence?
There you go.
But and I would like to see, you know, Kansas City, you know, win this game. I mean, I'm very, very interested in seeing, but I will tell you, first of all, that the Mahomes Kelsey combo.
Yes.
It's a big deal.
It is. It's huge.
It has destroyed teams all season, even when Travis Kelsey wasn't healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've seen them just eat other teams alive. With that said, Brock Purdy is amazing, as is, and I can't remember the guy's name, the Tarzan looking right.
Oh, that's George Kittle.
Yeah, thank you.
The tight end, yeah. He said Tarzan. looks like the wrestler, Triple H the wrestler. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, every time I see the guy, I keep thinking Tarzan. But suffice it to say, George Kittle is probably also one of the most dangerous offensive players in the NFL because it's almost like, you know, Purdy throws the ball to him and it's like he's got, you know, gorilla glue on his hands.
Yeah.
You know, I think he and Kelsey are are equally matched. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to really come down to, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you know, doing those. And I'm showing my age, that the Kansas City Royals Ken Tecovy sidewinder pitches.
Oh, wow.
You did go back, Harold.
I go way back.
Way back.
Way,
okay.
Way, right. Way back.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And, because, let's be honest. In modern football, you know, wisdom, mm-hmm. prior to what? 10 years ago, uh-huh. maybe even 7 years ago, we didn't see that.
No, we didn't see the Patrick Mahomes type quarterback. Now, are you talking about the style, or are you talking about the fact that we got a black quarterback out here trying to create a dynasty?
Well, no, I'm not. No, I'm talking about the style.
Okay, because we can go there too.
Yeah,
but
that's
true. His style is so smooth and amazing, and a lot of that probably has to do with, you know, when he was at Texas Tech, he had a guy, Kingsbury was there, who's going to be the coordinator mm-hmm. here at Washington, who helped him out and groomed him, and the baseball background helps out too. His dad was a great baseball player. So a lot of that factors in when you're out there being around, you know, being a little loose with the ball. He talks about how Kingsbury, when he was at Texas Tech, never forced him into the box, saying, okay, this is how you're going to play quarterback. This is the only way you can play. He gave him a lot of freedom to roam around, be loose, ad lib, you know, scramble around, do that sidewinder thing that he does. He gave him the freedom to do all that, and that's crucial to the development of a young guy. Gave him a lot of confidence, very successful at Texas Tech. First-round draft pick for Kansas City, sat on the bench for a year, and then the rest is history. After that, he took over, and the rest is history. Mm-hmm. So it all worked out for him. Great, great coaching, great situations.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking everything Super Bowl 58. Want to know who is your team and why? What do you expect to see? What will surprise you? What are you looking for? Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay. So outside of the quarterbacks, Winston, what do you believe will be the determining factor in a possible win?
Gotcha. Okay. So when you look at this matchup, you have two strong defenses. Matter of fact, Kansas City's defense was, I believe, second in the league this year. San Francisco always has been strong. So you got to look on that side of the ball. Which defense can play better? It really, truly, some of these matchups tend to go really, really individually. I would say, you know, Tre'Davious Ward, the cornerback for San Francisco, is going to have to shut down whoever the Kansas City receiver is that decides they want to bring their hands to the game on Sunday. Because, you know, the whole season, Kansas City, you know, the receiving core got a lot of heat because they were not catching the ball. So you have Rashee Rice, who is a rookie receiver for Kansas City. He's going to be tasked with probably catching a lot of passes on Sunday. Legarius Sneed, the cornerback for Kansas City, he's one of their lockdown performers on defense. He's going to be tasked with trying to lock down Debo Samuel, who is a receiver for the 49ers, and or Brandon Ayuk, or whichever one is on that side of the field that he is playing. But, you know, it's going to come down to the defensive side of the ball. You know, really and truly, had a coach tell me a long, long time ago, that football is pretty easy. It's like baseball. All you have to do is block and tackle, right?
That's all.
When you get down to the basics, you know, both teams have done that very well throughout this season, especially during the playoffs. Well, I should say Kansas City did. San Francisco, not necessarily as much, but they had Mr. Relevant, Brock Purdy, kind of save their skin in both of their wins in order to get here. So it's going to be a defensive. The defenses are going to have to step up, A, and B, running the football. Whichever team has the advantage on the ground is going to win this game.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Yao calling from District Heights. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I think San Francisco has the advantage this time.
Why?
Just the experience, just the know-how.
More experience than Kansas City? Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes been four times.
Yeah, I mean, Brock Purdy just stopped wearing Geranimals a little while ago.
Oh, no.
I mean, I guess the way they came back on Detroit.
Yeah, well, then there's that.
You You know, it just gave me that you know, that fourth quarter mentality. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Although, arguably, you said they came back on Detroit, but you could argue that Detroit just left it all in the locker room. I mean, they, you know, I don't know. Y'all, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about all things Super Bowl 58. We're going to talk a little bit about Washington as well. Stay with us. Lines are still open again at 202-319-7810. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We continue this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are breaking down Super Bowl 58. All things about the big game. Who is your team, and is there too much Travis and Taylor focus for you? My guests are Winston Hilton, sports producer for WJLA TV7, and Wisdom Martin, author and news anchor for WUSA9. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so I got to tell you all something that I just find really funny. And when I was watching watching the championship game, Chase Young was going to get to the Super Bowl one way or another.
Yeah. Oh, you knew it. You knew it.
Chase, yes, Young, sir. Yeah, the defensive end, a son of Bishop McNamara High School in Prince George's County. Yeah, I saw him sitting on the bench, and I was like, wait a minute, that's right. He was traded to San Francisco.
Not just that, Harold, but now remember, Chase Young traded there. Trent Williams was traded there a couple of years ago, the big offensive lineman.
Yes.
Superstar offensive lineman. Kyle Shanahan, although it didn't work out really well here, he was one of the assistant coaches under his dad. So it's a lot of Washington connections out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not going to root for him though. I'm still going to stay on the Kansas City side. But I just thought, you know, for those of you who like me are not totally in tune, and if you saw somebody on the sidelines that you thought was familiar, well, there he is, Chase Young. Yeah. So, you know, we've got to talk about the cost of this game, Winston. The tickets, sales, you know, 5,500, but the resale, $9,000.
Yes. Oh, I know, Harold, you got me, right? I'm on my way to Vegas. I know you got my ticket.
You know what? I got a spot for you right there in my living room. I got some wings and some Doritos and whatever else you want.
Harold's going all out for you, Winston. Doritos.
Hey, man, look, I'm sure the food is better there than it is in Vegas. Wait a minute. It is Vegas.
No, but I cook, and it'll be good, and it'll certainly be cheaper.
Yeah. Now, that part we like. Yeah, so the, you know, as we've seen over the past six or so years, you know, the tickets have gotten exorbitantly, like, more expensive, right? And it has to deal with, obviously, with the corporations that kind of swoop in and get up all the tickets. And then they leave the rest for, you know, the diehard fans that are willing to go, you know, pay, you know, this really, really large price tag for these tickets. You know, it's part of this is America, baby, just like Don Key said. Only in America, as he said. So for those fans that end up going to the game and are in that building, you know, congratulations, kudos to you. But for, you know, America, you know, they don't quite have that in order to go spend, you know, 4 hours. Now, mind you, it is in Vegas, Harold, and Wisdom, so I'm sure that there are a lot of people that are loving their experience right now, and then they have to come home on Monday morning.
Well, you know, but, you know, I was thinking that the Super Bowl, all of them, but this Super Bowl in particular is really for the super rich.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you've got to... you've got, and unless you know someone who knows mm-hmm. someone who knows someone, there's just, you know, the economy is improving. Okay, I get it. And, you know, and for someone who is, who enjoys the game, but I'm not a super fan, I'm not going to be fighting somebody because my team lost.
Right.
Like my, my cousin who likes the Dallas Cowboys because he's crazy. But, but $5,000, what am I missing, Wisdom?
You're nothing. It's just corporate. It's all corporate. Now, back in 67, when this all first started, it was, this is the first year of the Super Bowl. It wasn't called the Super Bowl, but it was the AFC NFC, or AFL NFL Championship
game. Championship game. Yeah.
Those tickets were $12, and that's before TV got big and all this, and the commercials were cheap, relatively speaking. And then the further along we got, the bigger these TV contracts got, the more money they're paying the players, and then the tickets just kept going up, and they're still going up. This is totally corporate. Players have access to tickets, so the players can go and all the celebrities can go. But otherwise, like Harold Fisher, Wisdom, Martin, and Winston, we're not going.
Mm-mm.
We're not going. There's no scenario where I would pay $2,000 to sit in the nosebleed to see anything.
And we have good jobs.
and we're some good-looking dudes.
Right.
All three of us, we got it going on. But going to paying that much money to go to a sporting event for me is just, I can't do it. And like I said, it's at this point, it's all corporate, wealthy, or you're a player, or like you said, you're somebody's relative or somebody's best friend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was trying to catch up with one of my good sister friends earlier this week because I hadn't spoken to her in a month. And I was like, I'll give you a call this evening. She said, can't. Me and the boyfriend are going to Las Vegas. And I'm like, oh, I got to meet this guy.
Wait, are they going to the game or are they just going to Vegas?
Well, I'm sure that they are going to the game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'll have to ask her.
Okay.
But I'm like, yeah, I need to, you know, I need to meet this fella.
Yeah.
Because
we need to follow up on this conversation. Yeah, we all need to know him.
That's right. You know, shoot, that's a new love right there. That's one you need to keep. Okay. So, all right. So here we go. The Taylor Swift factor. I was talking to, you know, to our interns. They're young people, and I asked them, "Are you football fans?" And they said, no, but they are interested in Usher, obviously, and did express some, you know, some interest because of the Taylor Swift factor. I'm going to be really honest. Shake It Off,
yeah, and Bad Blood.
Don't know that one, but other than Shake It Off, I wouldn't know a Taylor Swift song if I heard it. And I'm really gonna confess, I didn't even know Shake It Off was done by Taylor Swift when it first came out. I was like, oh, that's a peppy little ditty. But and I was like, oh, that's Taylor Swift. Oh, that's the pretty blonde girl with the red lips. Okay. But you know, I'm sure this is genuine, Winston. Let us hope that this is genuine, you know, because,
you
know,
I'm saying this love could be a publicity stunt, Errol?
Not I, said the mouse. Man. But and I don't believe it is.
Okay.
I really, really don't believe it is. But I am amazed at the power of this young woman. I just really am.
It really is amazing. I mean, think about it like this. An example, just last week, you know, with the Grammys and her winning Record of the Year. And, you know, Sean Carter gets up on stage and says, hey, you know, this woman, my wife, has the most Grammys ever in the history of Grammys. But she doesn't have the one record that this other woman has won already four times.
The Album of the Year, right?
Mm-hmm. Album of the Year. So, you know, her power, I must confess as well, I don't understand it. Maybe it's part of age. I'm not sure. I'm not willing to admit that yet. But she is extremely powerful among you know, a certain audience. And, you know, I give her a lot of credit for, you know, fostering and nurturing that audience. Now, as far as the romance is concerned, you know, good for if indeed truly genuine, good for both of them. You know, I'm sure nobody ever wants to wish ill will on anybody.
No.
Relationship. But, you know, by all means, you know, as my dad would always say, you know, go do what you do. And, you know, they are doing what they do. So, you know, but the eyeballs that he brings into this game is, you know, you just have to sit there in amazement because, you know, she is bringing in a whole different audience to football that, quite frankly, they lost after the whole, you know, some numbers from the whole Kaepernick situation years ago. So, you know, it's a win-win for everybody. It's a win-win for the NFL. It's a win-win for her. It's a win-win for football fans in general, unless you really hate seeing cutaways of her, which, you know, whatever. I'm not affected by it, but some people are. So, you know, kudos to the powers that be that kind of, you know, what's funny, Wisdom and Harold, I want to know the person who introduced those two. That's what I wanted. Where is that interview? We got to find that person.
Now, yeah, because there had been some discussion, I think it was on the Today Show, about Hoda Kotb having something to do
with. Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
That's what they were saying. Mm-hmm. But admittedly, you know, we all have our circles, and our circles are different from a lot of other people because of the jobs that we mm-hmm. have. And so, just like anyone else, high profile people often date high profile people. Right. But again, with all of the bodyguards and everything around, how do you get next to a Taylor Swift? You know,
well, it's probably a situation where they're like, oh, Taylor's crew. See that guy over there? He's kind of a big deal. He catches lots of touchdowns. Right. And he's a Super Bowl champion. Right. And, you know, that piques people's interest. And then you say, okay, now this guy, this regular-looking guy, I guess he's a regular-looking guy, mm-hmm. he runs in my circle because he's a star football player. And now, oh, okay, now it's not that. Hey, bodyguards, move out of the way. Let him come on over here. And the next thing you know, she's all on TV. Roger Goodell's even talking about it at the Super Bowl press conference.
How about that?
Roger Goodell is talking about Taylor Swift and the benefits of Taylor Swift to this Super Bowl.
Yeah, because what did he say in the beginning? He said, you know, Travis Kelce has made a lot of catches, but this could be the biggest catch of all.
That is great. That is great.
That looks good.
Yeah, that's great. Listen, I need to talk first of all, about last night, you know, the most valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
Is it almost anticlimactic, Wisdom?
Not
with Lamar Jackson.
Well, I would say that it's good for him because this is a milestone because he's got two now. Right. He's got two, so that's great for his career. That says that you are. At least two times in the entire league, you were recognized as being the best at what you do. And I'll never forget when he got drafted, how the Colts, Bill Polian, who used to work for the Colts, he was a commentator for the draft, saying that, oh, he'd make a great wide receiver or running back. And then
he does. Among other things.
He does a little bit of everything. Right, exactly. And then Coach Harbaugh, when he started having success with him, he was really successful at quarterback. Harbaugh, after the press conference, every time he threw a touchdown pass, especially that first MVP year, he would say, not bad for a running back. He was taking a shot at Polian for saying that.
Exactly.
So I think this is a big deal for him to win two MVPs. Now, would he trade that for a chance to get a Super Bowl trophy? Probably so.
They all would.
They all would because, those things are hard to come by. This was supposed to be Baltimore's year. Kansas City was kind of slowing down. Baltimore was on the way up. So it's kind of a letdown, but it's, you know what I'm saying? It's not a bad thing that you got your second MVP, but boy, I bet he would love to be playing on Sunday.
And honestly, Winston, I think he should. Winston, I really still think that he should be playing on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, what's funny is Winston brought up the whole Bill Polian thing. There was a social media young lady that went viral because she was analyzing Lamar's game. And her term was, you know, he's very quarterbacky. And that set off a fire among a lot of people because it was insinuating that he was not a true quarterback because of either A, his playing style, or B, because of his race. And, you know, we've been fighting this fight for so long since Shaq Harris and this, you know, Doug Williams and Donovan McNabb and Randall Cunningham. You know, there have been plenty of, and shucks, Patrick Mahomes. You know, so there have been a lot of stereotypes that have been laid upon different quarterbacks. And, you know, Lamar is literally making them. He did what he did this year was impressive because he said he was not going to play the way that he did when he won his first MVP, which was, you know, using his legs a lot. This year, Lamar armed quite a bit. Now, it did, now I'm not going to lie, it did help that he had, you know, the top-rated defense in the league, but still, yet and still, he still used his arm the way that most of your quote-unquote prototypical quarterbacks use their arm in order to win this MVP. So it's very significant, at least in my eyes, to see that he won the award last night.
Real quick, Harold.
Yeah.
I want to jump on that, too, because I think that's an excellent point about the whole black quarterback thing, because you know I wrote a book on that.
Exactly.
Shameless plug, Pass Interference. You can get it anywhere where books are sold. Because I got all into this, into the book, about how people like Lamar Jackson are treated differently. Lamar Jackson runs, and it's, oh, he's not very, very quarterbacky, or whatever the lady said, or whatever the commentators say about him. Josh Allen from Buffalo runs just as much. If not more.
And where are they now?
And where are they now? But he's celebrated like, oh, look at how great. They never say that about Josh Allen from Buffalo. It's the same style, same kind of thing, and nobody ever criticizes Josh for running. He runs, I'm telling you, he runs more reckless than Lamar. Lamar's skating when he's running. He's ducking and diving. So this is a whole thing about and you can try to, you know, downplay it however you want, however they want to do this. But it's always Lamar Jackson. When you see him, you see who he is. Race is always a factor when it comes to these quarterbacks. Even Patrick Mahomes. I know Patrick Mahomes is who he is. He's a winner. But it's always a factor when it comes to these quarterbacks.
But I would also say, just from a casual observer, that and we saw this in the championship game with the Ravens and Kansas City. If you only watched that game, even though the Ravens lost, you understood why Lamar Jackson is the MVP again. Because of the way, because it says most valuable player, not most valuable quarterback. And Lamar Jackson is a player. His ability to think on his feet, that catching his own pass, I mean, that's going to be like, you know, the Odell Beckham one hand catch. That's going to live in sports infamy.
Right.
His ability to get sacked. Oh no, wait, no, he's not sacked. You know, here they come again. Oh no, no, he's. And, oh, by the way, yes, he can throw the ball. There is no reason why he should not have had the MVP. And while I have the experts here, because I'm going to ask you guys this, I am troubled, and I like Joe Flacco. I really do. I like Joe Flacco. Look, he was with the Ravens, but I am truly troubled that Colin Kaepernick has not gotten a real shot, and that even if he has, you know, gotten the shot to fail, but Joe Flacco is older than Colin Kaepernick. There are several, because look, you know, a lot of quarterbacks, you know, Aaron Rodgers, these guys have been going down like ducks in a shooting gallery. And there are others, and we've heard, those stories about, about guys who were, getting ready to go back to grad school, or they're cleaning up tables at the local diner, and they get that phone call, and And I just think that it is, Colin Kaepernick should have been playing this year.
Colin Kaepernick should. Go ahead, Winston.
I was going to say yes. Of course, he should have been playing, but I'll counterpoint with this. You know, there probably was a lot more power in him not playing, as far as his movement was concerned, than him coming back and being set up to fail by, you know, the conglomerate that is the NFL. So, should he have come back? You know, that's for him to say. But I actually, yes, talent wise. Quarterback-wise, quarterbacky. Let's bring that term. But as far as that's concerned, yeah, absolutely. He should have been playing in the league. He should have never not been allowed to play in the league. But again, there probably was a lot more power for him to not come back to play. If you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm. He made it work for him. The moment that he did the protest. The moment that he did that and started that, what was his belief and his right to do,
mm-hmm.
I knew that he was not going to play again once that contract was up and he left the 49ers. Yep. He was going against the establishment, against the NFL. And they can try to clean it up now and say we're all good now, but he went against the establishment. He went against what they believed in, what those owners believed in, and they were upset about it. And once he was done, they said, there's no way. And then the lawsuit, and then you remember the sham of, oh, we're going to go down to Atlanta, and we're going to have you work out with the teams. And he saw that was a sham. He called that out, and he's like, I'm not doing that. This is a farce. There was never any interest in having him back in the league. Fortunately for him, just like Winston said, it worked out better for him that he did not come back because his platform had changed. He had gone from being a football player that had started this movement to a football player who actually was the movement. Colin, now when you hear his name, oh yeah, he was a quarterback in the NFL, but that movement that he started after that was even bigger.
My fantasy is that he would be like Muhammad Ali, where Muhammad Ali stood up for his beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of his best years were spent where he was not allowed to box.
Right.
But he came back and kicked everybody's butt.
Right.
Okay. And my Colin Kaepernick fantasy is that his movement remains and he comes back. And yeah, the big fantasy is that he wins a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But that he comes back and has a winning season where he is not, his skills, his prowess cannot be denied because of, the scores at the end of the game, near the end of the season. That's mine. I'll let that go. Now, I'm thinking about the Commanders.
Uh-huh.
And Dan Quinn. And I got to tell you, I really hope that this was a really, really great deal. Winston, it was very difficult for the Commanders to seemingly get a coach because folks were turning them down. And a lot of the commentary was, he's all right. And that's, I don't know if the compliment is you're all right. You're okay. He's a safe bet. I don't know. I mean, Winston, they changed the name. We have new owners. They got Magic Johnson on the leadership team. Everybody loves Magic.
Yeah.
So, and then you hire he's all right.
we've talked to a lot of fans. About the developments with the Commanders, the head coach, the general manager, the coordinators, and what have you. And going back over the past how many ever years, over the past 25 years, after a coaching hire, everybody's driving around with their burgundy and gold flags, and they're honking their horns like you won the Super Bowl. This time they're not. And you know what? after doing that for so many times under the previous administration, it probably is a good sign that people are not, he's okay. It's okay to be okay sometimes, if that really makes sense to a lot of listeners out there. It's okay to be okay. But what the fans are, I guess what they're really upset about is that people turned us down. I don't necessarily look at it like that. I think we got the guy that the powers that be, Adam Peters and Josh Harris, it's a guy that they wanted. It's a guy that is a leader. It's a guy that is a motivator. And when it comes down to football, your head coach needs to be a master motivator, not a guy that's going to be X's and O's. That's what your coordinators are for. And if you look at the Detroit Lions,
yeah,
their master motivator is Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. And I think that is it's an influence on what the Commanders did in this hiring cycle by bringing in Dan Quinn, was a guy that's going to get you fired up and ready to run through a wall or your opponent in order to score points and this, that, and the other.
I agree with that. You do want, and that's with any job. If you have leadership in place that you want to rally around, and you know you want to, you're willing to go the extra mile, to make sacrifices because you believe in the leadership. But he's just all right.
But I will say this. You're talking about the leadership, and I will say there is a benefit to having this new ownership group, because now it's a new ownership group. They got the new general manager. They got their guy, who the coach. He might be just all right, but they have their guy, and he's got his coordinators, and they also have that draft pick. A lot of times in football, you can turn things around very quickly when you have an all right coach.
And a great draft pick.
Okay. Especially if it's a great quarterback that you don't miss on. Now, if you hit on this quarterback, that's a game changer. Because I remember when Shanahan, when he was here under the old regime, he was just all right. But when he hit with Robert Griffin III that one season,
right,
it was magic. For 1 year, mm-hmm. It was magic. That all fell apart at the end of the year,
and it
just crumbled. Mm-hmm. But for that one, and they had him tied to RG3, and the future was bright. It didn't turn out well. But if they hit with this draft pick, whether it's Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels from LSU, or whoever they decide their guy is at quarterback, that's huge, because now it's the new owners, the new GM, the new coach, and a new quarterback. They're all tied together at the same time. And you don't have a coach that comes in and say, well, I didn't draft him. I wasn't in on that, which is what the old regime used to do. The owner would pick the players, and then the coach would be like, well, he picked them, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think there may be something in a positive direction there.
Yeah, and again, you know, not an insider, but I was mm-hmm. surprised when I heard that Dan Rivera was also in charge of personnel. Mm-hmm. I mean – the coaching is difficult enough.
Oh yeah, it's massive.
It's already a really, really massive job, and you've got to pick, you know, your players too. No, it's kind of like, you know, let's do it like the Ravens. You have Ozzie Newsome, mm-hmm. who was in there. He was picking the guys, and you let the coach,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and you let the players play, and you know, and all of that. So but you know, that's the extent of my professional opinion. sorry, Winston, that, you know, that's kind of all I got.
No, that's good. I mean, look at the hierarchy and the structure that the Commanders have now. They have their owner, who is, I would say, probably going to be a lot more hands-off than the previous owner. You have your general manager, who is in place now, and then you have your coach. So the Commanders have followed, you know, the Ravens and other organizations, how they structured their front office. So, you know, there's really and truly, what does it say? There's only one way to go but up, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, how about there that? All right, so Winston, final word on Sunday's game. What, you know, whatever you believe it is going to be. Travis, Taylor, Kansas City, San Francisco, Usher, whatever. I'll let you have the final word.
I was about to say, you know, oh my gosh, yeah, you know, love in the club. That's where I'm going with this one, Harold and Wisdom. That's where I'm going with this one. You know, confession. This is my confession. I think that's what this Super Bowl is going to be.
Wisdom.
Let it burn.
The law firm of Winston and Wisdom.
the law firm. Wow.
I'm not a betting man, so I'm not. I don't know. I'm scared to pick.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about it. I say Kansas City 24-17.
Ooh. Okay.
That's what I say.
Yeah, that's the under, which everybody is betting on the under points. Harold, I might have to agree with you. It's going to be Kansas City by a field goal.
Ooh.
Harrison Butker comes in to kick a winning field goal. I think.
Wow.
That's
okay.
Right. Yeah. All right, guys.
Oh, man, I was going to pick, but we're out of time.
Get out of here. I'm going to send this audio to Channel 9 on Monday.
Oh, no.
Which, by the way, we're starting a new show, 9 o'clock, 9 to 10. Watch us Monday.
Oh. Congratulations. Winston Hilton, Wisdom Martin, thank you guys so much. Enjoy the game on Sunday. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, February 9th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins-Wilson, and engineer Iron Waller, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, and have a safe weekend.